B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
They're like, oh, a corner traded. Oh, wow, not for a lot. A guy who was a fourth-round pick a year ago and a fifth-rounder in the future? Okay, you couldn't have done that. Whatever. Not exactly the greatest corner in the game right now. Not an all-pro. Not anymore, at least. And then you look at a guy like Jalen Ramsey, and he gets traded and not to the Eagles.
You said a fifth-round pick?
It was a fourth-round linebacker in last year's draft. Not this most recent one, but I guess two drafts removed now. And then they also traded up a fifth-round pick. That's what they had decided to give up to get Marcus Peters. But then they go and get Jalen Ramsey. The Rams go and get Jalen Ramsey, as Adam Schefter reported, for the two number ones and the number four as well.
Yeah.
So that's what leaves you in Philadelphia Eagle land rather upset when you wake up this morning or when you put your head on the pillow last night. So that's what a lot of people will look at and go, wow, that really rubs me the wrong way. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And without further ado, on the line with us, and he's brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute of Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit rothmanspine.com. Mr. Adam Schefter. Good morning, Schefty.
Not just Mr. Adam Schefter, Mr. Lambo Lee.
Oh, that's right.
Adam Schefter.
Yeah, Adam, before we get to anything else, man, you got some ups, bro.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Listen, I jumped up there, and I was so proud of myself and so happy and so elated, and someone came over. They said, you want to see the replay? I'm like, yeah. And they showed it to me, and I said, that is the most embarrassing, humiliating thing I've ever seen in my life. I got about an inch and a half off the ground. I got zero hops.
But you made it, though. You made it.
If it makes you feel any better, Schefty, many years ago, I was a stage manager for Sunday Night Football. I had to put up a utility box for Chris Collinsworth to get up there. But you, my friend, you got the hops.
Really? He needed a utility box to get up there?
I will say it wasn't in the end zone. It was like in the higher portion of the stadium, like anybody would have needed it. But, you know, whatever.
Well, that's where I was, too. I was just shocked at my lack of lift.
Yeah, we'll leave you out of the vertical test at the NBA Combine.
You were calling on that yeast.
It was very embarrassing. And like I said, I was just concerned, to be perfectly frank. All I wanted to do was to make sure that I didn't tear my Achilles, rip my groin, you know, pull a hamstring, do something that was bad. And I came out of it relatively unscathed, so I felt very fortunate to escape from there like that.
Adam, the football world would not turn anymore on its axis.
I mean, but every time...
If you went on the injured list.
Every time he's been put to the test, he's always passed the test. I mean, he did catch a ball out of the jug machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did do a no-look throw into a plate. Bam.
There you go.
That was a few weeks ago on ESPN. That was that was one of my prouder athletic accomplishments in 52 years of life. Hitting a plate with a football.
Yes.
Ooh.
Very, very impressive. But unfortunately, Adam, right now, Philadelphia is not feeling too impressed with Howie Roseman. What's our level of concern? Did he get close? You always tell me how aggressive Howie is, and I believe you. The evidence is there. So how did all this come down with Jalen Ramsey?
Well, what's interesting is yesterday in the morning, as I was driving from Green Bay to Chicago, I got a call, hey, you need to be on the lookout for the Rams and Jalen Ramsey in the morning. And I said, well, what's going on? They said, well, now they're trying to trade Marcus Peters. And I said, okay, well, look, Aqib Talib was placed on IR on Monday. And then Marcus Peters, they're shopping. So if Talib is gone and they're shopping Peters, something's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so I was flying home in the afternoon yesterday, and I couldn't connect to Wi-Fi from Chicago, and landed and saw that Marcus Peters was traded. And another reminder not to fly in the middle of the day, but that's neither here nor there. And so as soon as that happened, you knew, again, that was just reinforcing it, that Jalen Ramsey was going to be in play. Now, look, all Philadelphia cares about is, were the Eagles in it? What happened? And all I could say is I just think it heated up with the Rams over the last 48 hours. And I think the Eagles were the Eagles doing what they always do, which is being aggressive on every player, not just Jalen Ramsey. But if there's a guy out there that they think is a good player, they're always making calls. They're always inquiring. They're always making offers or seeing what it would take to get a deal done for that particular player. And I think they did that with Jalen Ramsey, too. And ultimately, I think that they decided, I don't know this, but it's not hard to assume it, they thought that the price was too steep. Like, I understand fans there this morning probably very disappointed. Boy, we needed Jalen Ramsey. We could have used Jalen. And they're right. I mean, I got that. You look at the Eagles secondary, and they have to do something at cornerback. But I don't think they ever were going to surrender two ones and a four. Just was more than they would want to pay for a cornerback as good as he is. Now, if they had been able to get him for a different price, a friendlier price, I think they would have been definitely interested in doing it. And I know a lot of people have brought up, you brought up to me, Zach Ertz. I can tell you, Zach Ertz has never come up in trade conversations between the Philadelphia Eagles and Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so when it comes to a guy like Howie Roseman, any deal that he's made at deadline time or even inching closer and closer to it as we are now, none of them involve first rounders. Is Howie just a guy that is married to those first round picks?
Yeah, no, he's looking for a value, as he should be. That's the right thing to do. You don't want to be desperate. Like, if anything, they felt like they overpaid a little bit on Golden Tate last year, and you learn from that going forward, right? Like, they didn't want to give up a three for Golden Tate, but in the end, that was what it was going to take to get it done for Golden Tate, so they went to a three. I think that they, with that experience, didn't feel like it was justified in the end, and so they're going to be careful with what they give up. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be aggressive. It just means they're going to be measured in how they treat certain transactions and moves. And I think that ultimately they cannot bring themselves to give up multiple picks the way that the Los Angeles Rams did, as much as they would have liked Jalen Ramsey and as much as they could use Jalen Ramsey.
All right, Chet, you said that they do need a cornerback, and there's no question about it. We've seen the play. Is there somebody that they can get in the measured department, in that department where it's comfortable for Howie, maybe before, and it, maybe not specifics, but in general, before that trade deadline?
Yeah, I would think there would be. Like, I would love to, if I were them, I would be, you know, targeting a guy like Chris Harris in Denver.
Okay.
I think he's a really good player. And the problem is Denver's won its last two games, and this is what happened. So basically there are two more days before, or two more games before the trade deadline on Tuesday, October 29th. And if Denver should win on Thursday night against Kansas City, it's not going to be in the market to sell off players. It's just not. So if you're an Eagles fan and you want Chris Harris, you want Denver to lose its next two games and knock the Broncos from the race. Now, there are other cornerbacks out there. Chris Harris is a guy that immediately comes to mind. And it's up to Howie's department and him to go scour this list and figure out who they can get. It's not going to be a huge name like Jalen Ramsey or Marcus Peters, whose play had declined some. But it's up to them to go find a guy that you don't necessarily know, that isn't a household name, that can help upgrade their secondary.
What would you do maybe with a Patrick Peterson? Is that name available or not? Because there's been conflicting reports.
No, there's not conflicting reports. Teams have called the Cardinals, and the Cardinals have told them in no uncertain terms that they are not trading Patrick Peterson. So, yes, calls have come in, and callers have been told no deal, not happening. Now, that doesn't prevent a team like the Eagles from trying and saying, hey, we'll give you two ones for Patrick Peterson. You know, I'm making this up.
Right.
And Arizona said, oh, okay. But I can tell you this. If the Jaguars got two ones and a four for Jalen Ramsey, what do you think the Cardinals would want for Patrick Peterson if they were even to entertain the notion, which they have told me flat out that they're not?
Right. So how is it different, though? Because Eagles fans hear that, and they'll say, well, I thought Jalen Ramsey wasn't available, and then all of a sudden he was traded. So everybody's for sale type of thing.
Well, there's a price on everybody.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and Jacksonville could say all along, we're not trading him. The Raiders said it on Khalil Mack. Every team says it on every player involved in a dispute. Always. Because it's in their best interest. Now, having spoken to the Cardinals last week about this, I don't believe they will trade him. But again, if I were a team like the Eagles, would I try? Yeah. Would I see if I could come strong with an offer that would be something that I could accommodate? Yeah. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't. But again, that's Howie's job and that team's job to see if there's a way to try to pry loose Patrick Peterson when the Cardinals say we're not going to deal him.
All right, one last one as far as the defensive side of the ball goes. Xavien Howard from the Dolphins, he's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now, been dealing with that all season. Dolphins maybe still in sell mode a little bit after Minkah Fitzpatrick. Is he a guy that could be moved?
Yeah, but listen, teams have made calls on Xavier Howard in the past, and the Dolphins have told them that we're not trading him. And they just signed him and paid him all this money, which I think makes it more unlikely that they trade him. And as much as the Dolphins are willing to deal players and as open as they are to trades and tanking and getting as many picks as possible, I don't really sense that Xavier Howard is a guy that they're looking to move. Now, again, back to our earlier comment, if the Eagles want to pony up, which isn't going to be what they want to do, which isn't going to fit into the value category, yeah, maybe they could try to pry loose Xavier Howard. I don't think he gets traded either.
Shefty, how bad are things in Dallas right now? We look at highlights of players coming off the field, Jason Garrett putting his hand out, nobody's slapping his hand. We know they've lost three in a row. You have the Amari Cooper injury. What is your feel with this team? What's going on with them both internally and on the field?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that, and you guys know this better than I, you just asked me about the Cowboys, who they play Sunday night in a rather big game for first place in the NFC East, and all your city's talking about this morning, I'm sure, is why didn't they get Jalen Ramsey? What can they do at cornerback? Am I correct?
Yes, 100%.
You are.
Yeah, it's so funny. And so now you're onto the Cowboys, and you know you get a big game to get ready for on Sunday night. And in regards to Jason Garrett, what I love about this is I just think it's so funny. Is that, and correct if I'm wrong, but 3 weeks ago when they got to a 3-0 start, there was actual conversation about whether the Cowboys should extend Jason Garrett.
Right.
And why don't they extend him? And when are they going to extend him? And now 3 weeks later, there are questions about should they fire Jason Garrett? And why aren't people slapping his hand walking up the field? So it's so typical of the way that we view and consume sports. But it's great. I mean, it keeps it going. And it keeps it lively and interesting. And I would just say that I've always felt that Jason Garrett was going to have a strong season. And I, you know, when you say define a strong season, I just mean they look good, they're competitive, they make a playoff type run to keep his job. And I always felt that if they fell short and had a disappointing type season and go on an extended losing streak of some sort, that his job would be in jeopardy. I always felt that was the case. And so we've gotten both ends of the spectrum so far this season. 3-0, give him an extension. 0-3, fire him. And we'll see what plays out in the final 10 games.
Do you think Amari Cooper's playing on Sunday?
I don't.
You do not think Amari Cooper's playing? Okay.
I don't think Amari Cooper will play on Sunday.
Is there a name in the wide receiver bunch that could be available through trade that you see a guy being dangled out there, maybe like Golden Tate was last year?
Again, let's go back to Denver. Emmanuel Sanders is the obvious one. I mean, that stands out to me as a guy. Stephon Diggs, again, we're not trading him. Okay, well, we'll give you a 1, a 2, and a 6. I'm making this up.
Right.
Okay, well, we'll trade Stephon Diggs then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, price on everybody. You know, are you willing to pay? The Vikings aren't looking to trade Stephon Diggs. They're not just going to trade Stephon Diggs. But if they got blown away by an offer and got 2 1s and a 4 the way the Jaguars did, yeah, we're trading Stephon Diggs.
Adam Schefter, so last thing for you, and just to circle back to the Jalen Ramsey thing, and I know we'll move on to the Cowboys a little bit later in the week here in Philly, but right now it's reactionary when it comes to Jalen Ramsey.
Very rarely do you hear in Philly in the week that the Eagles are playing in first place, the Cowboys can wait, but let's go back to Jalen.
I understand that, and that it is an odd thing, but you don't get the sense, or you do get the sense that it came down to those two number ones, and the Eagles were out.
Well, it's 2 1s and a 4.
Right, two number ones and four, right.
And, again, I just believe that that price was too steep for them. I do believe that they spoke to the Jaguars, as they should have. That's the right thing to do. I don't know where they came in on an offer. I don't know exactly what they offered, but I know that Zach Ertz was not a part of those conversations. That I can tell you for a fact.
Understood.
Shefty, real quick, who were your first two picks in your NBA draft?
Bob, I'm glad you asked. It's this Sunday night, 9:15 Eastern.
Oh, I thought it was last. I apologize.
No,
all right.
And so, again, at 12 and 13, the group of guys that I'm considering now would be a group that consists of, depending on who's there, Damian Lillard, which I would love if he fell. I don't think he will. Bradley Beal, I don't think he'll fall, but if he is, I'll take him. Drew Holiday, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, any of those guys you feel particularly strong about?
Yeah, Doncic I like.
Me too.
Yeah, I think the first two you mentioned will be there. I think Damian Lillard will be there for you.
That would be a dream.
All right, there you go.
I've done about 15 mocks. He has not been in there. He has not been there in one of them.
And yeah, but you're in a group. You're in a group that doesn't know the NBA like you.
No. I'm in a group that's pretty sharp. Actually, one of the guys is the NBA editor, and he's picking right in front of me, which really bums me out.
That always hurts. Yeah. So, well, good luck, buddy.
That's the group. And so, but before I let you go, that's the group I'm considering. Give me one breakout guy across the league, a guy that you like. This could be a six, could be anybody, that you say this guy's going to have a really good year.
I will give you a sixer, and it's a higher name, but I think this guy's going to be an all-star this year, and he's going to give you numbers across the board, and that's Tobias Harris.
That may be my third-round pick, so, you know, if he's there at 35, 36, he may be on per sources.
There you go.
Very good.
My man.
Adam, it's a great name for your team, by the way. Adam, always great talking to you, and now we're going to get right back to Cowboys conversation, probably sometime tomorrow when we calm down.
Please pick that up, resume it soon, and I appreciate having me. We'll talk next week after the big game Sunday night.
My man, Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. Do it, tell you, 7 o'clock hour, excuse me, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. All right, coming up, we'll get back into that Jalen Ramsey conversation, examine a little bit further what Adam Schefter just told us.
I can't even believe it.
Time of the Fanatic is 8:15.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Special shout out to our friends at United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. What's the update here we have for our fine Twitter poll there, Sam Wilson?
Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com. This morning we asked, are you losing confidence in Howie Roseman? We have just under 2,500 votes. 56% say yes, so still close.
Still very close, 56% saying that. Okay. Adam Schefter basically intimated that he got the feeling that was too high of a price to pay for the Eagles.
Yeah, he threw cold water right up in our face.
Which I think is obvious because they didn't make the deal. However, I do get the sense that Howie, more so than many other GMs, is married to those number one picks. Those first round picks, I don't see as a huge loss if you get Jalen Ramsey in return.
Neither do I.
And if you're going to have confidence in a general manager to manipulate the cap so that it works in what might be a big deal next year, what will be a big deal next year, then I have confidence in Howie Roseman to work that out. That's the thing he is strongest at.
Yeah. Well, if you have confidence enough that he could work it out, you have to have confidence enough that he didn't see it as a fit here.
Oh, no, totally different.
No, it's not.
But it is, because you're talking about picks that you could have given up to bring a guy here that would help you win right now.
I hear you, but he must have been looking long term. All right, put it this way. Would you have given up that for Jalen Ramsey for this year?
Just as a rental?
Yes.
No, I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, no.
So maybe if we have that much trust in Howie moving forward and all, maybe that's all he felt comfortable. Maybe that's all he saw. And maybe cap-wise, moving forward, he sees it, and we trust him as being the cap guru.
Uh-huh.
He didn't see it as a good thing moving forward. So if that is all the case, we have to trust that Howie made the right decision.
Yep, nope, not going to do it. I understand what you're saying.
I'm not saying I believe that.
Right, right.
That is not. But that's kind of the way you might have to look at it.
Right. So I don't walk to the Walt Whitman. Yes, absolutely. But when it comes to this deal right now, helping your team, this is a deal that I think should have been made. And what, Howie doesn't want to have a corner stick around like that? And of all the teams, I would have confidence the Eagles would want Jalen Ramsey to stick around here after this year.
So let's go Chiefs. Let's go Chiefs. Because basically
Denver
Schefter
needs
told
to
you.
Lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Denver,
our
yeah.
that's our goal.
And
Patrick Peterson ain't it. Xavier Howard ain't it. It's going to be Chris Harris or bust, it seems.
I wasn't going to ask him about Emmanuel Sanders after he already told us about Denver, you know, winning their last two games. So now maybe they're not in the sell mode with Emmanuel Sanders or Chris Harris, as we were going to hope that they were going to be in. But I did want to ask him about wide receivers that could become available, because the Eagles obviously need help there. And, yeah, you got to root for the Denver Broncos to lose.
If DeSean Jackson comes back, I wish we knew something.
Yeah, still nothing on that.
All we have is his personal trainers being flown in. Like, you know, I love a wide receiver added as well. You know, there's a guy like J.J. Nelson out there. Like, he's kind of just on the wire. He's 26 years old, speedster dude. I don't know what they're doing. They need a contingency plan, and they probably need it pretty soon because I have DeSean Jackson fears.
As do I. Whenever I hear anything, people were asking me about this last night at the Zach Ertz event I was at. People were talking about how if you're going to have DeSean Jackson back, is it going to be a situation where he should have gotten the surgery earlier? And I said, whenever you have, anywhere in sports, if there's going to be a lingering issue and surgery is an option, and they say, oh, I'm not going to have surgery, I'll just do the rehab, well, I feel like it's only going to rear its ugly head again.
It rarely works out.
Look at baseball. Yeah. We just had it with Jake Arrieta.
Sir Anthony
Dominguez.
We'll find out, because I guarantee you he's probably going to get re-injured again next year.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth with this, because Jamie's a big advocate. He should have just gotten it done away, and he might be getting back right about now. At 32, at the type of body that DeSean Jackson has, maybe his decision was, man, I'm at my age, I have surgery now. I don't know if I can come back from anything.
Mm-hmm.
So letting the body heal on its own might be his best way to go. If that is the case, well, that's worrisome also.
Yeah, if the Rams did that deal, though, for Ramsey, I'm sorry, I'm going back to it already. But if the Rams did the deal for Ramsey without confidence in re-signing him, then they're just about as dumb as we thought they were to begin with.
Oh, yeah,
with all the money they're tying up, they're already moving on from Marcus Peters. They traded him as well. Wouldn't have minded to see him in an Eagles uniform, but it's just wild to think. Like, yeah, then I would hope that Howie at least has the foresight to realize that Jalen Ramsey's going to test the market more than anybody else.
And you know what? Here's where Eagles fans might get their solace, is that if the Rams do sign him for next year, so now you have Goff, you have Donald, you have Jalen Ramsey. Who else is
Gurley?
Oh, Gurley. So you have your
highest paid quarterback, highest paid running back, highest paid defensive player ever,
right?
And soon to be the highest paid cornerback
ever. So you're real top heavy. They have a real problem going forward. Like, how are they going to fill out the rest of this team? They might be hitting the you know what by doing this. Mm-hmm. So as an Eagles fan, you could look at it and say, wow, maybe in 2 years, the Rams really blew up because they spent stupid money. Maybe Howie did do the right thing.
All right, I'll hope for that.
I'm just trying to give you some optimism here, Mark.
The optimism.
I'm digging deep.
Here's the most optimistic thing, Trey. This is the most optimistic thing I think we got out of Adam Schefter. Amari Cooper's not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
He does not think Amari Cooper is playing on Sunday. So, all right, you know, who needs Jalen Ramsey? He can beat Michael Gallup. You know who I'm worried about now?
Jason Witten. Yeah.
Does he
leave the toupee at home?
That's saying.
Oh, definitely. The toupee is left at home. It's in a vacuum seal.
You know? It's a vacuum seal?
Yeah, you got to keep it, you know, you got to spray it every now and then. Keep it moist.
Yeah, you got to keep it moist.
Yeah. You look at what Prescott did without him. I mean, you know, what he had, 277 yards against the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, average 6.9 per pass.
Nice.
Yeah. Zero touchdowns, though. So that helps.
By the way, I did see an awful toupee at the DMV yesterday. And by awful, I mean it was spectacular.
Mm.
And it made me feel good about me and my bald brothers.
Yeah, like, stay strong, Mark. Yeah, fight the fight.
Yeah, stay strong. Don't.
You can put a hickey. I know a great toy that can put a hickey on your forehead if you want.
Yeah, that got a lot of social media play yesterday.
Really branded.
All right, so I will say this. Adam Schefter gave me cause for optimism because of, that Amari Cooper's
not... And that was it. The rest was cold water in the face.
Oh, everything was terrible.
Yeah.
Everything else was... the world was burning. But then I'll give you this. Amari Cooper's not playing. And then the little highlights you saw on, really not even just highlights, but if you missed the Sixers game last night, you had a lot of cause for optimism.
I think it's safe to say conservatively that they're going to go at worst 75-7.
There we go.
At worst.
We don't want to be homers.
I don't know. They'll probably lose, you know, one that you don't
Come
think
on,
about.
Jane.
Why being so negative, you jerk?
Yeah, really?
All right, fine. 76-6.
Okay, all right. Now that's what I like. 76. See? Mm-hmm.
See?
Now we're all in a better place. By the way, is it Pele? Pale? Pele?
Pell. I thought you went soccer on me. I was like, huh?
No,
Five blocks.
Norvell Pell.
Norvell Redenbacher Pell.
Yes.
Was swatting everything out of the paint last
night. He's got a lot of bounce in those legs.
How many minutes did he have to play last night?
I think 14.
He had about 47 blocks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a record. That's a preseason record.
Between him and Kylo Quinn, it's nice to actually potentially maybe have true backup centers now.
I'm going to throw this to you, and I don't want to be a homer, and I don't want to be all optimistic when people are pissed off about Jalen Ramsey, but Trey, what if We finally have a GM in Philadelphia that can spot young talent.
That would be awesome.
Chief Beef, Matisse Thybulle, nice to meet you.
All right, here you go. Who's better, Matisse Thybulle or Landry Shamet?
Hit me again with that one more time.
Matisse Thybulle or Landry Shamet. After this year, you can, because everybody was upset they got rid of Landry Shamet.
Depends what you value. If you value elite wing defense that can guard like 2 through 4, then Thybulle's your man.
Thybulle hit a nice little step back three last night, too.
His offensive game looks better than I expected.
Yeah.
If you value 3-point shooting, then Shamet's probably your guy. I, for one, would probably choose Thybulle slightly right now.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
We have to see what Shamet becomes and what Thybulle becomes.
Shamet helped get the Clippers in the playoffs.
He's pretty good. He started.
I like him.
Right. Started on a playoff team.
But I'm just saying, they brought in a guy that's going to be an all-star this year. Bob, I'm right there with you.
Thybulle's going to be the sixth man. That's my hot take of the day. By the midway point, he's going to become your true sixth man on this team.
I hope it happens. I'd love to see young talent like that flourish. But what if Chief Beef is the one guy in this town that can spot young talent and go, yeah, I like what you're seeing there.
Do the Sixers have too much talent this year? 6-1-0, 6-3-2.
They look like
they actually finally have depth.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah, like a good amount.
After grasping at straws last year, help you out on the bench in the postseason, they got a lot of depth.
That continuity alone, just having a complete roster for once to build with, is incredible, let alone the depth.
It's lovely.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. Dante, Northeast, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm just trying to keep a positive attitude on today. That's all I'm trying to do.
Good for you, Dante. Tell me something that's happy.
Tell you something that's what?
Tell me something that could, can make us all happy.
Amari Cooper might be out this week.
All right. Thank you. Dante, what is on your mind, brother?
I need to go on a rant, guys. I wasn't able to do it last night because my wife doesn't understand football, but you guys do. And I do have a question for Trey after my rant.
Okay.
Howie Roseman, how do you not pull the plug for 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick for Jalen Ramsey? You've yet to draft any type of secondary personnel, whatever you want to call it, that's going to help your team. How many cornerbacks have you drafted, and has any of them panned out to be anything that you wanted? Rasul Douglas can't run with anybody. Sidney Jones, like I said yesterday, he can't even guard Trey Thomas on a go route. That's ridiculous. Come on.
Yeah.
And like it's sad. Like do we have enough trust in Howie Roseman to go with those 2 first-round picks the next 2 years to draft somebody that can help the secondary immediately?
All right, well, here you go. And Dante, I know you're trying to be happy today, but let's look at the corner position. Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Blake Countess, and who else do I have here? Ja'Cory Shepherd and Randall Evans. That's going back to 2015 as your draft picks.
That's secondary.
For your secondary, for corners, yeah. Like, to me, you have not impressed with any of these guys. And then you go back to the 2014 draft. Now, supposedly Chip Kelly had his fingerprints all over that one. But Bo Allen was the one guy in that draft that was a contributor to this team. Like, even like Jordan Matthews, who was the second pick, he was traded like moments later, it felt like. There's a lot of guys in the defensive end of things right now with Howie Roseman that you look at and go, what the hell are you doing, man?
You got Eric Rowe. Was another cornerback that they drafted?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Eric Rowe. Yeah, he was with Ja'Cory Shepherd and Randall Evans.
I don't get it, guys. I really don't. I'm frustrated this morning. And, Trey, my question for you, right?
Uh-huh.
If Deshaun, just out of curiosity, if Deshaun is playing against the Cowboys Sunday night, how would that make you feel if, we started the game on a screen route to Miles Sanders just to try and, see if we could get, some type of positive yardage that doesn't include in a run and try and spark a big play for Carson Wentz to get him in a rhythm that early.
To try a screen route with him?
But if you lined up Miles Sanders on the side Deshaun is on, because that safety has to give respect to Deshaun over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying, where you put Sanders, like if D-Jack was off to the left, then you put Sanders off to the left, and then you run a screen over there. Yeah, that could possibly work, and then you just see what your guard's going to do if the guys don't bite on it. You try to get your lineman upfield and try to get a little screen going. That wouldn't be a good, bad thing, but I personally like, because lately, every time we start off with the pass, it's always an incompletion.
Oh, that's where you get the second and tens for the first, what, four games of the season?
Yeah, so I always kind of like, let's get some positive yards, get your offensive line going, let's move the ball a little bit, then we start moving from there. But there was one time yesterday, and we ran like when I was going back over some of the offensive line play yesterday, and there was one time they ran a screen where Kelsey went out there to Kendricks.
Kendricks, yeah.
And Big Isaac kind of looked like he was, they almost ran into each other at one point because Isaac was going the other way.
He thought it was going to the other side of the field?
I think so. I don't know.
He forgot the play call?
He kind of was like, I'm going this way. No, Kelsey, like, and then he kind of like, I think I need to go back this way. And then Kelsey, that's when Kelsey ran up on Kendricks and really didn't get a good hit on him. And then, you know, Kendricks went on and made the tackle and forced Sanders out of bounds. But it was because he and Isaac almost collided and then Kelsey had to go.
And another problem I have with their screens is, to the untrained eye, they seem so obvious when they're going to happen. They don't disguise it well to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say that on the bubble screen.
The bubble screen, yeah. But even the other ones, it's you'll see the fake pitch right, and you know it's coming back around. Like you can read it. To me, it just seems like you can read things awfully easy sometimes with this team.
Like, forget about the personnel for a second and Howie putting all that together. But yeah, the play calling. This is what we got into a lot yesterday with Doug Peterson. There's not a lot of creativity to it.
Doesn't seem like it.
Like, they see it. Like, I'm not looking for all these trick plays, and I'm not even talking about the fake field goal, because to hell with that. That was just stupidity. But when you talk about...
No, they had the look that they wanted.
They got the look that they wanted, man. It was there.
I looked at the evidence presented to me by Trey Thomas, and I, through my vast football knowledge, looked up and looked at it and went, oh, yeah, that was stupid. Because it's obvious that was the worst matchup you could have had out of having a team in field goal block. Do you want to get into it yet?
I mean, I don't know.
Let's get into it in the next segment here, because did you tweet these out yet?
I have not.
Let's tweet them out, and we'll have people comment and see what they think, what was done wrong here. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I mean, it's an obvious thing. It's not something that you really had to dig deep for. If my idiot brain can figure it out, I'm sure anybody can. And yet Doug Peters is like, no, that's what I'm going to go against right there. Now's the time to fake this field goal. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I have to give a shout out to our good friends at Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll run through some calls. Damon, David, Eli, Damon, and our buddy Graf as well. Time at the Fanatic 840.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So do we call this the fake that will live in infamy? Is that a way to term this fake field goal that we experienced on Sunday against those Vikings? Because it's not going away.
Oh, no, it's not going anywhere.
So the turning point of the 17 season was a made field goal from 63 yards.
Good point.
Is the remembrance of this season, should it not turn out the way we expected it to, be the fake field goal in Minnesota?
I personally would love to never hear about it ever again.
The fake field goal?
Yeah.
Hey, Trey, what do you think about that fake field goal?
I thought that, it was the right look. He got the look.
The look. Now,
have you tweeted this out from your personal? Sam's tweeting it out.
Yeah, Sam is putting together. She doctored it up, got all three pitchers, together. So we can, as a unit, take a gander at it.
I can't, for the life of me, figure out what the heck Doug was looking at.
Just take a look at it.
See, here's the benefit we get of, sports talk radio and all that stuff. All we have to do is find, one bad, obvious, glaring, wrong thing. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. If you're starting a football team, don't hire me as your head coach or Bob or Jamie. Like, Trey, give them a look, but please don't steal them from us. But any fan in the stands can look at a play like this and go, what the hell are you thinking? Like, for instance, Howie Roseman. Now, the saving grace here, Bob, you're right. Maybe Howie's not confident that they are able to sign him to a long-term deal, and he's not going to give up two number ones and a number four. Right now, it looks terrible, and it is right now. It is Wednesday. Now, we're not going to know what Jalen Ramsey decides to do in, like, tomorrow in terms of what he's going to do over the next 2 years of his NFL career.
Yeah.
But right now, you know you need help in your secondary. I would have confidence that Jeffrey Lurie would sign a big, fat check to keep Jalen Ramsey here for more than just, whatever, he got seven games, eight games left in the schedule. I wouldn't be surprised if Jeffrey Lurie would be that guy. But the fact that they didn't go out and get him, and it's the third guy they passed up on this season that could help your team instantly by adding him to your roster, that's where I could just go, Howie, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah.
So we'll look at the comments that we have from people on our, I guess, side question that we're asking through our show page, as in, what the hell is Howie doing? We'll have people fill that in for us, and then, Trey, you'll give us the breakdown on that fake field goal and what the heck they were looking at. Let's get to David in Central Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
So basically, just talk about what I was going to say is, do you really think that Howie, because I see a lot of hate on him, and the guy has been good at contract negotiations, and he might have looked at, can we keep him more than 7 or 10 weeks? And if not, was it really worth the price to pay? We have other people out there that we could trade for, but I want to say one thing. You hit on Eric Rowe a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
That guy played for us, and he was terrible when he played for us.
Uh-huh.
He was not very good. He goes to the Patriots, right, and that system was so good. He's not a superstar, but he is very good on the left side of the field. So is it truly our cornerbacks, which, I mean, I do think there's a lot to it, or is it Schwartz's system needs to be tweaked to play with some strength on whatever the player's ability is?
I hate comparing anybody to Belichick, especially when you're just talking about a defensive aspect of the game, because that is his strong suit. And I agree with the 1980s argument of, I'm blanking on the head coach's name, Big Tuna.
Bill Parcells.
Yeah. Does he win without Bill Belichick? Does he win those Super Bowls without Bill Belichick coaching the defensive side of things? Now, you can obviously argue guys like Lawrence Taylor were pretty damn good no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a guy like Belichick could take a guy like Eric Rowe, make him serviceable. The other name that came up yesterday was Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung was garbage here, went to New England, yeah, and was pretty good, you know, minus, you know, a drug thing. But in terms of on the field, Patrick Chung actually looked good. Belichick can turn a lot of garbage into gold, to use a Mark Zumoff term. But when it comes to what they do here in Philadelphia, I'm just left scratching my head. Jim Schwartz is a guy that I think has done a great job this year of making adjustments based on his personnel. They explained that the first touchdown was what, Malcolm Jenkins' fault? He took credit or took the blame for that. And then the next one, Rodney McLeod was way too far up on what should have been deep coverage to help out a guy like Rasul Douglas. The fact that they can only have 10 guys on the field in two different scenarios so far this season is crazy to me. And that's where it comes down to position coaching. Now, your defensive coordinator is the overseer of all that, so he still gets the blame. But I actually think Jim Schwartz has done a good job this season. I think that he is undermanned.
I totally agree with you.
Okay.
I think he needs another, I think, shot at head coaching.
I think that is going to happen.
Now, I read an article about Ronald Darby. He quoted that he, or Schwartz allows him to sit back how many yards that he feels comfortable. I think maybe they need to start pressing receivers, because if you knocked off Diggs a couple seconds, that could have made a couple differences in some of those plays. So, again, is it just system or situation awareness, or is it more just our players are just not quick enough and they're just exploiting us? Because when we play, again, I hate the Patriots. I don't hate Tom Brady. I just think he's just there. But he's just going to pick us apart on these little off plays, these cross routes, because we're 10 yards down the field from their receivers.
I schematically, I think the right play call was made. But the problem for me is that, you know, Rasul Douglas, since the first time he stepped on the field, his strong suit is not speed. Like, he always needs over-the-top help. We're aware of his limitations. We've seen it since his rookie year. So I look at the player, and I look at personnel more than I look at anything else. Trey, when you look at these players, you look at these corners, they need that extra help.
Yeah, they need that extra help. I mean, and I think that the scheme is affected by the personnel. You see that teams nowadays, because how quick the quarterbacks are getting the ball out, are playing more run. And so, playing more man. So, to me, it seems like, you know, if you have guys that are being challenged, you would want to protect them over the top. But I think that's why you try to blitz as much as you can to try to get in the quarterback's face, to throw them off. But to me, I think also, too, you need those corners to get up and challenge these receivers just to throw the timing off, because everybody's just sitting back there 1.8, 2.0, 2.2, 1.9, getting rid of the ball as quick as possible, and it's hurting you.
Yeah. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975.
And meanwhile, it makes me think of our wide receivers, except maybe Alshon. You touch them and they're 5 yards off their route.
Yeah, but
and it screws up everything on the reverse for us.
So as we pointed out yesterday with the numbers, Alshon as an Eagle is like 13 and a half yards per reception.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the replay of the sideline ball that he caught?
Yeah, I saw that back and forth yesterday.
That should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
I thought the ball took him a little more out of bounds. Yeah. It didn't. He kind of lost his footing and fell out of bounds.
Yeah. I wasn't sure.
That was
sure.
An easy touchdown.
Now, here's the deal. For the people that want to say I just hate on Carson Wentz.
Beautiful ball by Wentz.
I could have said that throw did take him out of bounds. But what I said was, I don't know if it was his footing or the throw. But bottom line is, everybody was beat. It should have been a touchdown.
Because that would have been 24-24, and who knows at that point.
As I waved my pen at people on Twitch, sorry.
Even if the throw did take him out of bounds, which is debatable, I guess. You have to look at it at different angles.
It's
still a beautiful throw.
It's a beautiful ball.
It's a beautiful throw for a 25-yard gain. I mean,
and
yeah, I think
the
receiver needs to make an adjustment there and stay in bounds.
You see that
absolutely.
Play in the NFL 10 times a weekend, and 9 of those times, the guy's running into the end zone.
Was he distracted? It wasn't Trey Wayne's on his side, was it?
I can't remember.
It was just over the outstretched hand.
It was.
But
it
whether you're kind of like reacting to it and your body flinches a little bit, I don't know. But, God, when you look at that field in front of him, there was nothing.
And I hate the what-if game, but, man, if Aguilar and Alshon just take those two balls in, Wentz, the way people are viewing Wentz right now changes entirely.
Mm-hmm. See, I had my two criticisms. The deep ball to Aguilar overthrown. And then the other one was not checking out of the play on the third time.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.